Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. Thanks for tuning to Catch Our Drift. Joining me in studio, Dave Clark.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
Dave, thanks for coming in, and thanks for having the courage to come in. Dave is one of our new sponsors at The Current and here at the Drift Radio Show. So Dave is going to join us for a few minutes here to talk about his show, and then he's got the guts. You're going to hang out with us, and we're going to talk politics, man. Great to have you along.
It's good to be here.
Yeah. So what we do every Saturday on The Drift is talk about the news we put up on The Daily Drift. And if you're not going to The Daily Drift, you should be. www.thedailydrift.com. It's the news you need to know. So make sure you're going there and checking out all the information that you won't get from the fake stream media. That's what we're getting there. So Dave, woodrehab.com, we just heard the commercial there. Tell us a little bit about what you do. It's an interesting project that I've been seeing you do. You want to talk a little bit about how you refinish kitchen cabinets?
Yeah, we primarily have three different services. Two are geared towards kitchen cabinets. That's painting and refurbishment. And then we have deck power wash and stain, fence power wash and stain, same category. And then furniture repair and refinishing. We started out as a furniture repair and refinishing business initially and branched out. And that's part of the reason we've been as successful as we have been with kitchen cabinet painting is do the understanding of the finishes and what works with them in order to get the proper adhesion and to get the longevity out of the finishes. The way that we apply the paint and go through the process, we end up with a product that looks like a factory-applied finish. It doesn't look like an aftermarket paint job with brush strokes and everything else in it. So it's taken a while to get it to that level, but we've been there for a while, and we've been successful at it as a result.
Right. So if someone's looking to, and a lot of us get that way, we may have bought a house in the 60s or 70s, and cabinet styles change with time, you know, like clothes change. Yes. Cabinet styles in a kitchen change. And sometimes wood is in, sometimes it's a light wood, sometimes it's a dark wood, sometimes it's painted white, sometimes it's a different color than white, and that changes. Well, with what you do, you can roll with the changes anytime, right? It doesn't require the giant expense of completely new cabinets.
Yeah, it's phenomenally cheaper. It's a whole lot cheaper even than refacing, which is, you know, being passed off as the discount service, and it's really not once you get a quote. If you look at, you pay attention to the TV shows that are on the air, the commercials, any one of them that's shot in the kitchen almost always has painted cabinetry.
Right. And so that's really in right now.
It's very in.
Yeah. I just redid ours and I went with wood, but I've always been partial to wood. You know, if I could do my whole house in wood and wood ceilings and everything, I probably would, because I guess I'm a mole or something. I like.
Well, yeah, like I said, we started as a furniture repair and refinishing company. Right. So yeah, I'm a wood guy.
Yeah.
And it was a bit of a change to do that, but that was the demand.
So. Yeah. And you guys advertised with us last month, so you can actually see it in The Current. Go to currentonline.com, CourantOnline.com, and you can see some of the projects that Dave has done. So you can reach out to them at 248-506-6175. That's woodrehab.com. And ask Dave. He'll come out and do a free quote, right?
Yes. Quotes are free.
Yeah. And so do it, because they come out looking absolutely spectacular. And you've been at this for 25 years now.
Yeah, a little bit over. And we've also got a pretty good photo gallery on the website, so you can see some before and after pictures. And there's also a area on there for testimonials as well.
So. Okay. Awesome. Well, we'll talk about that probably again at the bottom of the hour. So, Dave, I'm glad that you accepted my offer to come in, because we met for coffee and we started talking, and you were quite well-versed on politics, which is my life, frankly. I like being – I'm the politics guy. Even if I'm doing absolutely nothing but trying to relax, I have to relax with politics, you know.
Absolutely.
And it's not necessarily – the most relaxing of things, I guess. But for me, it is.
That's
if I'm not watching the news or being maintained up to date and current on my politics, I get a little nervous.
No, that's what I was going to say. Sometimes it's not quite so relaxing. It depends on who you're speaking with.
Well, on this show, yes. I mean, we have a tendency to get a little upset sometimes on this. I do, anyways. But a lot happened this week. We had the confirmation hearings started with Jeff Sessions, General Mattis, Rex Tillerson. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But I wanted to start with something that kind of hit the social media really quick and hard. And it's funny, as you and I were talking about it before the show, one of our listeners, Joanne, sent me the same article that I have right here in front of me. And it struck us because, here's the headline. Head of the National, the D.C., Washington, D.C. National Guard is going to be removed from his post smack dab in the middle of the inauguration. So just after 12 o'clock, when Trump's in the middle of being inaugurated, right, the Army General, and his name is Major General Errol R. Schwartz, will come right in the middle of it, classified as a national special security event. And while thousands of his troops, 5,000 National Guard, are going to be on patrol in D.C. On Friday of this week, of next week, to protect the Capitol. Schwartz himself said in an interview Friday, the timing is extremely unusual. Well, Derek, we have track one, and this will give you both sides of the story. It doesn't quite turn out to be quite as sinister as it sounds, or does it? Go ahead and play track one, Derek.
Among the law enforcement teams keeping the city safe will be D.C.'s National Guard, but their leader is going to be out of a job the moment that President-elect Donald Trump raises his right hand. Well, the story blew up on social media this afternoon. We asked Garrett Haake to look into the story behind the story, and he's live on the National Mall. So what's going on here, Garrett?
Yeah, Adam, so this morning that outgoing general gave an interview to the Washington Post in which he seemed to suggest he was being forced out by the incoming administration with no choice but to leave as soon as Donald Trump takes the oath of office. Tonight, our reporting shows that's just not the case. With 8 years under his belt as the commanding officer of D.C.'s National Guard, Major General Errol Schwartz brought experience and gravitas to the task of planning a successful inauguration.
If something goes bad, it's up to the law enforcement agency to make the first move, if you will.
But unlike in the years since George W. Bush first appointed him, General Schwartz will watch this inauguration conclude from home, stepping down as Donald Trump steps up to take the oath of office at noon. The timing is extremely unusual, General Schwartz told the Washington Post today, adding he would never plan to leave a mission in the middle of a battle. But interviews with Trump transition and Defense Department sources show that the timing was the general's decision, not the Trump team's. As a presidential appointee, just like an ambassador, Schwartz followed protocol and submitted his resignation. Before the Trump team could act on it, the military drew up plans to replace Schwartz, a senior transition official said. Two transition sources say the Trump team asked the general to stay on a few more days, just to get through the inauguration. But with his successor already chosen, Schwartz declined. He wants to ensure that there is a secure transition between two commanding generals, Guard spokesman Major Byron Coward said. That means at 12:01 p.m. Friday, Brigadier General William Walker will take over the Guard as acting commanding general. He, too, has been heavily involved in inauguration planning and spoke presciently about the ceremony to us last month.
There is a sense that you're actually witnessing history. I mean, you are. You are witnessing history. You're witnessing the transfer of power.
Okay, so big story. Could have blown up into a fake news story. Maybe not so much.
Well, I think with the way things have been, it's totally believable that something like that would happen because over the course of the last month, probably, it's been nothing but obstacles thrown in the way and things that are going to be irritating to Trump once he gets into office. It's just making things difficult.
Yeah, I tell you what, I'm a little nervous. Now, I am actually going to be at the inauguration on Friday.
That's awesome.
And I'm excited, but I'm also a little nervous because I know there's going to be, you know, allegedly we've got Bikers for Trump are going to be there to help out.
Good thing.
You know, and there's going to be a lot of them. But there's, you know, here's Michael Moore out there telling people we need to disrupt, we need to stop him. You get Rosie O'Donnell here tweeting out and talking to people saying Trump should be arrested, we need to have martial law before this. You know, what the heck? As much as I hated Barack Obama taking office, I wasn't threatening to protest and impose martial law or anything else. We survived 8 years of Obama.
Well, and you're dealing with the younger generation that always got participation trophies, and they're unfamiliar with losing, and they don't understand how to deal with that.
It is. It's that crazy Trump derangement syndrome. I mean, literally, I've talked to people who have said, no, he's going to be king. He's going to install martial law himself. He's going to take over. And I'm like, did I ever sound that bad in the last 8 years? I mean, I may have put my tinfoil hat on once or twice, but I wasn't worried that Damocles' sword was going to fall on my head.
Well, some of the tinfoily stuff has turned out to be more accurate than we ever imagined.
Oddly enough, yeah. So let's start right there. The big story this week, and I don't know if I'm coining anything new, but instead of lamestream media like we've been calling it since Sarah Palin penned that term, fake stream media. And the big thing was the dirty dossier, and I think we said maybe Sunday night that happened. I'm on Twitter. I do quite a bit of Twitter, and you can catch me at Gary Daily Drift on Twitter and also on Gab. But Twitter seems to be 20 minutes ahead of the national news,
Absolutely. Oddly
enough. Yeah. You know what I mean? So you can't even find stuff on Fox or CNN or MSNBC before it's on Twitter. It's there, and then you go look for it, and it comes up late. So Twitter really has turned out to be a good news source. You got to watch what you're seeing. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You double check it. But I laugh because I saw it and I immediately just began searching through the cable stations and went with CNN because they were talking. And there was Jake Tapper, right? And oddly enough, kind of taking credit for this exploding story of Donald Trump being the Russians having dirty stuff on him, when they used the word salacious. We won't go into that part of it. But,
right.
You know, they were also saying Michael Cohen, his attorney, had gone to Czechoslovakia, Prague, and was meeting with the Russians. And it was funny to watch Jake Tapper kind of puff his chest out as they're talking about, we've been working on this for months. And I thought,
Didn't bother to vet it, though, did they?
Yes, and so, you know, I really run through my mind, you know, how am I going to deal with this? Is this true? You know, am I okay with this? Blah, blah, blah. And so I just kind of sat back on my hunches, and I didn't change my daily drift, which I normally put up a little earlier in the evening. Didn't go back and change anything. I was like, you know, I'm going to wait and see, because Fox wasn't reporting it, right? CNN was reporting it. I didn't see it on CNBC. I didn't see it on ABC.
Even New York Times passed on it. What's that tell you?
Yeah. So I was like, something smells in Denmark here. So I did nothing, you know, and waited till the next day. Well, immediately on Twitter and stuff, you start seeing, you know, this is a trolling 4chan. And this is, when you talk about the deep internet people, 4chan, 8chan, these odd, it's an odd part of the internet, and I you will open your eyes to a whole new world. So I kind of got my first deep dig on the internet that way when I got invited to a couple of blogs from one of my Twitter followers, you know, and I came back to him and said, wow, dude, do I feel not only stupid, but I'm kind of just freaked out. And so 4chan is one of these deeper internet channels, and they said we were trolled. Ended up being a troll. We don't know if this is true or not, but they said that they gave the information to Rick Wells, who's an anti-Trump guy, who gave it to McCain, who gave it to the FBI, and then the FBI said they had it in part of the dossier. Well, it turns out none of that was even true either, right? So this came from, and then of course they said, it's MI6. No. It was a guy who used to work for MI6.
Right.
And he ended up doing that. Now, here's the question, and this hasn't really been confirmed yet. Allegedly, this guy that put this dirty dossier together was a paid political operative by someone in the Republican
campaign. Yeah, some of the Republicans and then the Democrats after the fact.
Yes.
Got into it.
Yeah, so, and you know, and I've seen them, they're trying to blame it back on the Bushes, and it makes everyone think conspiracy. And God knows I love a good conspiracy as well as anywhere. But let's take a call from Joe real quick. Joe on line one. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, Gary, how's it going?
Good. What's going on, Joe?
I wanted to talk about Patrick Colbeck. and hopefully becoming the next governor of Michigan.
Oh, you know, we can change gears real quick, Joe, because that interests me. I did notice that you had worked on a draft page for him, right?
Yes. If you go to Facebook, it's Draft Patrick Colbeck. You know, you could just put it Draft Patrick Colbeck in the search bar, and you should be able to find the page. Got 150 likes so far. Join in on the conversation and try and get Pat involved. I don't know if people were tuned into Linda's American Dream show. They had Pat on. That was a great segment, and they went over a bunch of different things. There are a lot of uninformed people out there, of course. They try to paint everybody as a stereotypical Republican. And now, of course, the latest thing is to try to tie everybody to Snyder and then tie everybody to Flint in some way. But they went over some good things because, like on Facebook, on the Draft Patrick Colbeck page, we had a liberal come in and, oh, stay away from Colbeck. Are the roads fixed yet? Blah, 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 blah. A typical uninformed liberal talking point person. Because if you investigate it all, you know Patrick Colbeck had a lot of different road plans that would have not only fixed the roads, but made them last longer and for less money in the long run, all without needing the tax increase. But that tax increase, Snyder opposed Colbeck's plans because he wanted the gas tax. And the gas tax increase isn't all going to the roads. He wanted that to cover Healthy Michigan, which was Obamacare Medicaid expansion, which is failing, which, of course, Patrick Colbeck put forth a great Healthy Michigan plan, which would have made Michiganders healthier at a lower cost, and again, was opposed and rejected. We need real Republican, conservative leadership in Lansing that we've been promised for decades and have not gotten out of the Republican leadership, even though we have the governorship, the House, and the state Senate.
Yeah, here's my concern. You know, I voted for Snyder both times because what was my choice? Verge Monero and who was the other
guy? Mark Schauer.
Mark Schauer, really. I mean, that was pathetic. But Rhino Rick, as I like to call him, is nowhere near a real conservative Republican.
No.
Never has been.
No.
And, you know, as far as the rest of the leadership team in Lansing for the GOP, they're in trouble because they had a chance to do a whole lot of good, and they didn't here in the state of Michigan. Right to Work was great, and I thank Rick Snyder and the teams for doing that. But the Republicans have a real problem, and I think this might be a problem for Pat, too, because he's got to draw that thin line of being, I'm a Republican, and yet he doesn't want to be associated with the crap that the Republicans have put into us, including the gas tax and including what's this last bill they put, the energy bill that they just jammed through, that gives us no choice on energy, right?
Yeah, exactly. That, and then, of course, the budget. We've whined endlessly about the budget increase, and Rick Snyder and the House and Senate have cooperated, have ballooned the budget year after year after year. At best, we need to freeze the budget and prioritize the dollar, let the economy grow, and as a percentage of GDP, adjust downward.
Yeah. And this is what I want to say to any Democrats out there or liberals or people who hate the Republicans. Pat Colbeck is not those same Republicans that you see in Lansing that are not doing their job, the ones that seem to be more promoting the special interest. Pat Colbeck is I won't even say conservative. I'm going to say he's just a common sense guy with great ideas. And you're right. He had a good alternative plan for the Medicaid expansion. They didn't listen to him. He had a great alternative for the roads infrastructure here in Michigan. They didn't listen to him. They blew him off. They wouldn't even give him the time of day. And that's a shame because he had some really good plans for road and Medicaid and our Medicaid problem. But nobody listened to him. So hopefully now as a governor, if we can get him elected as governor, he can put those plans out there and people will actually give him a shot and let it be talked about.
Yeah, let the public listen to it and let them take care of it.
Yeah.
He's definitely got a few allies in the House and Senate, but obviously he's outnumbered. But if we can get him elected governor, he has, again, strategic allies in the House and Senate who will introduce the legislation and allow us to move it forward through, like you said, taking it directly to the public, like Reagan did, selling it, and having them call in and demand it be done, demand Republicans act like Republicans and not just Democrat light.
Yeah, so, Joe, have you spoken to Pat recently yourself?
I've spoken to him recently, but I've not broached directly the governorship. And, again, he was on Linda's show, and you know how adamant Linda is about drafting him for governor. And she was badgering him, and he wouldn't commit, obviously, at this point. But I think if we keep it up, there's a real chance we could get them to do it.
Right. So let's put this out there to our listeners. You know, people get out, go to your Facebook page, look up Patrick Colbeck, ask him some questions. That's the one thing Pat does better than anyone else, I think. He'll answer you back with a question. If you have an idea of something that you want to bring to him, he'll talk to you about it, he'll investigate it. He's very smart that way, and he's detail-oriented. So Pat's a good guy. Give him a shot. Please don't just label him a Republican and think he's a no-good guy like Governor Rick Snyder or somebody else. He's not. He's a man unto himself. He is not beholden to the special interests in the state. So give him a chance, look at him, and then ask him. Say, if you're happy with what he says when he answers a question to you, you know, promote him. Let's get somebody good because, you know what, with Gretchen Whitmer running on the Democratic side, you know, she's kind of a popular gal. People seem to like her, but she is a tax and spend liberal, and she can easily, in 4 to 8 years, undo everything that's happened. Because I will say one thing about the Republicans. In 8 years of having Republicans in office, things have turned around here in Michigan. They really have.
Yeah, and with Whitman, of course, you have the gender politics, the identity politics that the Democrats will always play. Do your own research. Go to morninginmichigan.com. That will redirect you to Pat's page. Morninginmichigan.com. Do your own research. His plans are there. Everything about him is there. Stop taking the left's lies and false narratives and trying to lump everybody in together, and research for yourself Pat's positions. And even Democrats, some of them will agree, they want the roads fixed. They want the roads to last longer, too, except for Democrat leadership, who, of course, the construction workers and the unions and their buddies that work the contracts, they want those to be ongoing money laundering operations so that the money kicks back to them. But the average Democrat wants good roads and would prefer to not pay more for them if it's possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Joe, thank you so much for the call, and I appreciate it. Keep us updated with the Draft Colbeck page, and call in anytime, eh?
Thanks a lot, my friend. Take care.
Take care, Joe.
Bye.
All right, so a great way to leave for the bottom of the hour here. Patrick Colbeck would be a great chance, and I'd tell people, please, do your homework. Contact him. Look him up. You'll see that he's been on the right side of almost every issue. I can't think of an issue he hasn't been on the right side of, you know, but he doesn't get listened to because they don't take common sense all the time in Lansing the way they should.
Well, that's the thing. You don't want to wait for the media to spoon-feed his positions to you. Find mm-hmm. them yourself. You have to take the initiative and deal with these things on your own.
That's exactly right. And Pat's pretty good about coming. He spends a lot of time trying to get on the air with us down here at the station. So we'll make sure we get him on. And he's on with Theron religiously and on Linda's show pretty regular, too. So you can get a hold of Patrick Colbeck, and if you hear him on the radio, feel free to call into the show, and you can call into this show, too, 734-822-1600, and we'll see you all on the other side of the break.
P
People are always on the move, driving to work, hauling the kids to practice. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for intelligent conversation with hosts like Joe Pags, Glenn Beck, Theron X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600 and whamradio.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. President-elect Trump lashing out at Democrat John Lewis this morning for questioning the legitimacy of his presidential win. Mr. Trump tweeting,
Congressman John Lewis should spend more time on fixing and helping his district, which is in horrible shape.
Fox's Peter Ducey, Lewis, who's been in Congress for 30 years, saying this is the first inauguration he'll not be attending in all that time. Another no-show, Broadway star Jennifer Holliday, who was to have performed in the inaugural welcome concert. The woman police say was kidnapped as an infant and raised by her captor, defending the suspect on Facebook, posting, "My mom is no felon."
Investigators say 18-year-old Alexis Manigo began suspecting that something was up a few months ago, and Walterboro, South Carolina police opened an investigation. Through DNA testing, Manigo has learned that her real name is Kamaya Mobley.
Fox's Rob Schmidt, Fox News. We report, you decide.
It's 2017. If you're thinking about investing in your house, now is the time. Check out woodrehab.com or call 248-506-6175. Use this year's tax refund to spruce up your house. And what better way than upgrading your tired kitchen cabinets? Wood Rehab can give your kitchen cabinets a new look at a great price. Don't replace them. You can paint or refinish without emptying your cabinets in this very non-intrusive process, which averages 7 days from start to finish. Call 248-506-6175. Ask for Dave. Woodrehab.com will give you 10% off if you mention this ad. 2017 is a great year. Get it started with a brand new kitchen. Call 248-506-6175. Or go to the web at woodrehab.com. And get your kitchen renovation started today.
Hi, this is Matt Maddock. The conservative revolution has begun. Trump energized people just like you and me. Now it's time for us to take a stand for what makes America great. The Michigan Conservative Coalition is leading the charge with Battle Cry 2017. Join hundreds of conservatives for the Michigan Inaugural Ball Friday, January 20th at the Soaring Eagle Resort. Saturday will be packed with conservative training focusing on the topic of how we, the people, reclaim our political process. You'll leave equipped to help make Michigan great again. Buy tickets today at BattleCryMichigan.com. That's BattleCryMichigan.com.
Do you hear those menacing drums? It's okay, you don't have to worry. Until they stop, that is. Theron inviting you to join me as we keep the drums loud and strong. It's the Bone Conduction Music Show. We'll mess up your musical hair, babe, with only the finest in wig-singing rock, hip-shaking soul music, and industrial strength rhythm and blues. Join me here for the Bone Conduction Music Show.
Join Theron for the rockinest show on the radio. It's the Bone Conduction Music Show. Every Sunday night at 7 p.m., right here on Wham! Talk 1600.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. Joining me in studio, Dave Clark from Wood Rehab. Dave, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so let's take a little sponsor this half hour and get this out of the way here. Our sponsor is DK Roofing and Construction. Licensed and insured, and financing is available. They do metal roofs, asphalt roofs, decking, siding, outbuildings, exterior renovations, finished basements, kitchens, bathrooms, you name it. 0% interest for payments for a year. So if you're doing one of those major jobs on your house or your business, give DK Roofing a call. They also take MasterCard and Visa. You can reach them at 248-357-6631. That's 248-357-6631. Or you can go to dkroofingsolutions.com. And you can email them, contact@dkroofingsolutions.com. And they're located in Pinckney, so they're a local establishment, so make sure you take care of your local people out here. Don't go with those giant national outfits. Take care of your local folks like DK Roofing and wood rehab.
Yeah, comes right back to the community.
It does. You got to keep that. And you live out by me now. You just kind of moved out into Whitmore Lake, right?
Yep, just came out here.
Yeah, great. Do you like it so far?
So far, yeah. Yeah, warm weather be better.
That's nice about Whitmore Lake is we're halfway between Ann Arbor and Brighton.
Yeah.
And it's a great area. 23, it's, you know, you do have the traffic sometimes, but where don't you nowadays?
Yeah, it's all over.
Yeah. So let's take care of what we were talking about before we jumped into the Patrick Colbeck running for governor, which, please, think about it, Patrick. Jake Tapper was all over this fake news, the Donald Trump being blackmailed or possibly could be blackmailed by the Russians. But he had to end up backtracking. Derek, do we have track two available? So after Trump said, no, it's completely fake news, and the CIA had to say this is not true, there is no evidence, it's just a bunch of bunk, CNN all of a sudden had to backtrack. And BuzzFeed was the guys that broke it, so they really took the heat of this fake news scandal. But so did CNN, because they kind of jumped on it, and they wanted to back off. Let's listen to Jake Tapper backing off on this.
And when Mr. Trump went after our own Jim Acosta, saying he's fake news and he isn't going to call for him, what I suspect we are seeing here is an attempt to discredit legitimate, responsible attempts to report on this incoming administration with irresponsible journalism that hurts us all, and the media going forward should keep that in mind. So that's one, just to get that out of the way.
You're referring specifically to BuzzFeed.
It's irresponsible to put uncorroborated information on the Internet. I can understand why presidents-elect Trump would be upset about that. I would be upset about it, too. It's why we did not publish it and why we did not detail any specifics from it, because it was uncorroborated, and that's not what we do. We are in the business of sussing out what is true and what is false.
And yet they jumped on that bandwagon a few days ahead of time, right? So it's not just the Internet. Bad enough that BuzzFeed threw it out on the Internet. You guys threw it out on Internet television and cable television.
Absolutely. It's a far bigger audience. You know, the other thing, they want to get on Trump for the way he treated the reporter there. Well, Obama did the same thing to Fox News blatantly not that long ago. Nobody said a word about that. That was fine.
The hypocrisy is huge. And if anyone wants to call in and comment on this, 734-822-1600, you can call in. Or if you want to email me at gary@thedailydrift.com, and I can read your comments on the air if you don't feel like calling into the show. Some people don't have the ability to get on and publicly speak like this. We do. All 13 listeners. Yes, exactly. So, It's amazing, and it is bunk, because one of the things that came out of it was how phony now and the trust level. It's not just the trust level with the media. It's the trust level with our own intelligence services now, because there was a couple of surveys that came out this last week. 70% of people that were surveyed had more trust in WikiLeaks than they did our own intel services. That's damage of the highest order. You know, and it's because of the politicization of our intel services.
Well, yeah, and they haven't necessarily been that great either. Didn't some of the Secret Service guys get in trouble in Colombia?
And let's face it, you can go back to, now, one of my things that I always worry about, the intelligence services said there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. They said there was nuclear weapons being developed in Iraq. Well, there never turned out. At least we didn't find anything nuclear. But they did find weapons of mass destruction. That bothers me when people say we didn't, because you know what? I've got friends who were in the Iraq war. They've got problems due to the chemical weapons. So I consider weapons of mass destruction chemical, biological weapons.
Absolutely.
You know,
that fell under that umbrella.
Weapons of mass destruction in there. So they didn't get that wrong. They did get wrong the fact that there were nuclear weapons, which I think is what really kind of pushed us into the Iraq war more than anything else. But since then, we've had, you know, just disaster after disaster. Benghazi, you know, don't tell us it's a video, right? We all know now
right.
It wasn't a video. And right. Why weren't they stepping up and either preventing it, or what was going on there? Is there something more to that? And I think we all know now it hasn't been. There were gun running,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely. There's quite a bit more to that.
I'm hoping, you know, with a new administration, and if we get these politicized heads of the Department of Justice and the CIA and the FBI out of here and put some people in who actually want the truth, maybe that's what we'll get, and we'll see something.
Yeah, that's the other thing. If you look at the people that Trump is appointing, these guys were all CEOs, or they had executive experiences, brass in the military. Those are the type of people that you want heading up these departments, not some policy wonk that knows no better.
Yeah, and I've gotten a chance to listen to quite a bit of the confirmation hearings this last week, which is really cool. I've never been able to do it like I've done this week. But let's finish up one thing on this dossier. So John Bolton, former Ambassador John Bolton, was being interviewed by Breitbart. And he had this to say about that dirty dossier. Derek, you got track three ready? All right, let's play this.
Could it be the case that somebody has just paid this guy to write these things so it did, so this leak came out?
Well, that actually, that thought occurred to me because it's so bad, and I haven't found anybody, including friends who are experienced in both diplomacy and military and intelligence affairs, who haven't just laughed at most of it. You know, it's filled with anonymous sources and you know, single source information and whatnot. So the notion, if I were a corporate customer and I wanted, in effect, a private investigator, I mean, I think that's what this firm basically is.
Yeah.
And I got something back like this, I would refuse to pay because you and I could sit down at a computer right now and type out these 35 pages, just let our imagination run wild. And if somebody would pay for it, I suppose it's a nice work if you can get it. But where it takes on a life of its own and gets published by whatever you want to call BuzzFeed, a source of electrons somewhere, and then it's used to attack people's character. It's just, I mean, it is completely out of control.
All right, so garbage. Right?
Right.
And what's really concerning to me, which I took a lot of offense at, was Senator John McCain, who's always been an ever-Trumper, right?
Absolutely.
And allegedly, these stories were kind of circulating in the upper echelons of Washington since summertime, right, of last year. And nobody could find anything. There was no evidence. It was just hearsay. But these people, especially the never-Trumpers like McCain, kind of had it out there. Well, he finally figured, I'm going to take it to the FBI. And he went and met with the FBI director. And I don't know that this is what finally helped BuzzFeed say, look, there's something in writing from John McCain giving something to the FBI. Whatever, however it happened,
sure,
it was wrong. And to this day, as you watch the confirmation hearings, I look at Graham and McCain and Rubio, and we'll get to him in a minute. You know, it's nonsense. Stop with the – you're supposed to be a Republican, and yet here you are – trying to throw your own presidential candidate, the president-elect, under the bus. Amazing.
Well, and don't forget either that it wasn't that long ago that he was in Syria getting his pictures taken with certain people he probably shouldn't have had his picture taken with, you know, with some of those ISIS guys.
Yeah, and that was – and those pictures are all over the internet, folks. You can see John McCain, yeah, Lindsey Graham, Marco Rubio meeting with – these alleged rebels, right?
Yeah, that's
but
carrying Obama's water to suit their agenda with that pipeline. The whole thing was about a pipeline.
Yes, and it always comes back to money, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And if you haven't seen those memes, you need to really look at them. But there's a picture of John McCain with al-Baghdadi and some other these really bad ISIS guys.
Yeah, there were two or three other guys.
So at what point, Mr. McCain, Senator McCain, do you have some culpability of what's been happening in the Middle East? You set it on fire as much as Hillary.
Yeah.
You know, outrageous. Let's take a call from Joanne in Catskill, New York. Joanne, welcome to the show.
Hi, Gary. I just really enjoy your show so much, I have to tell you that. I called him once before and got Mike and Ed mixed up, and now you have Dave. So, but I do enjoy your co-hosts very much. I really enjoy their comments. And I just wanted to mention real quick, well, first of all, with going to the inauguration, you know, my husband keeps encouraging me not to get into the fear and all the hype about, you know, all the protests and everything. I know you're going to be attending. And I was going to say, you know, if Trump got in office, it's like a miracle, and there may be a few tough months, you know, with all this, but I do think we have to just keep positive that, you know, some of these the people who make most noise really don't have the influence that you think a lot of times.
Yeah, I gotta believe that, you know, in the end, the powers that be in Washington, even the ones that oppose Trump, don't want to see wholesale anarchy and problems in the street. They can make their protests. They can do what they've got to do. But I think everything should be pretty well in hand.
Yeah, and I just want to ask you, what do you think of, you know, what I think is just awful, I can't get over it, is are the Bushes really not going to attend the inauguration? The two George Bushes?
George W., I believe, is, but I don't I don't know that. I know the elder isn't going to for health reasons. I highly doubt Jeb would.
Yeah, well, HW is probably really
I'm
old.
I'm glad to hear that. I thought they weren't, you know, I think the Clintons, well, who cares? But, you know, a lot of them, I think the only presidents in attending would be Carter and Bush, living presidents.
I thought I heard the Clintons were going as well. But I won't swear to that. And I had just seen the other day that George W. was actually going to be there.
Right. I'm sure Carter is very pleased to no longer be the worst president in history.
Right, exactly. They could celebrate that. But and do you know if with these Senate hearings, this is just my own ignorance, but when are they actually confirmed, the ones that they've been listening to?
I can't tell you either, Joanne. I know that we've got Betsy DeVos next week. I think Tillerson's done. I think Sessions is done. They haven't done the vote on them. And I don't know if they do it piecemeal, you know, a few at a time or what. I got to say, I haven't paid attention since 8 years ago, so I don't
Mattis really know. Mattis got his waiver, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, he got his waiver, so he can be officially voted on. Yeah. And I guess they'll probably see... Yeah, the waiver, because he was in the military.
He wasn't out long enough.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's right.
You got to be out 7 years or 6 years, I think.
Yeah. Okay, well, I don't mean to keep you on. I just was, you know, I'm glad to hear that about Bush. I just, some of these Republicans, like you just said, I just cannot believe, you just wonder, you know, has there been any distinction between Democrats and Republicans with some of these people, and just politicians, really.
Yeah, I think in the end, and I've said this too, because I've talked to some very liberal people who have that Trump derangement syndrome. They're really freaked out. And I said, you know, you're going to be, I don't know why you're freaking out. Number one, he's not the most conservative Republican. Out of the 16, he was probably the more moderate of them, and yet they're acting like he's the right-wing devil. You know what I mean?
I know. And it's just, you know, so much of that, like I said, I think is loud, you know, listening to some of the louder noises. And then even with the confirmations, when you think of it, I heard with Sessions, they had all this stuff they were going to put up there against him, and they weren't well organized in the end, and he did great. So I think that's, you know, I'm trying to keep positive, you know?
Yeah, I wanted to play a track from Cory Booker, who actually got on and testified against Sessions. And yet there's a video running through Twitter and Gab and Facebook of not too long ago Cory Booker saying the most fabulous things about Jeff
Sessions. Oh, it was
an
honor to work with him.
Yes. Yeah. And so it is crazy. It really is. So,
Well, thank you. I won't keep you on. I enjoy the show. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Joanne. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, it's the hypocrisy of the left on some of these things is just incredible. It really is.
Well, yeah, let's look at the purported Republicans, and the answer lies in where has the opposition been for the past 8 years? They've sat silent on the bench while everything's gotten passed.
Yeah, yeah. Let's take a call from, who's that, Derek? Ed from Ipsy. Ipsy Ed, how you doing, man?
Hey, pretty good. I've been listening for the last 20 minutes. I want to congratulate you. I'm finally getting a decent co-host.
Thank you.
So, we always have good co-hosts here, Ed. You know that. What do you got, man?
Oh, nothing. That was it. I'm sorry. I was just in a driving situation and just almost got hit. So I got distracted. I'm going to hang up now.
All right. Well, don't get distracted. We don't need those kind of drive. I don't want that on my head. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. Take care, Ed. Appreciate
the call.
Talk
to you later.
All right. So, the hypocrisy is just absolutely crazy. It's like watching the Obamacare repeal, right, which happened here, and we can actually play you a little something. I thought this was funny. Derek, you got track six ready? This is the House. The Senate had already passed the procedure to start the repeal of Obamacare, and some people are already like, they're taking it away. This is just the process, folks. It still requires a signature from the president to become law, right?
Right.
But let's listen to this, track six.
The chairman of the committee of the whole House on the State of the Union reports the committee has had under consideration the Senate concurrent resolution 3 in pursuit to House resolution 48.
Who knew
reports
you had to be an auctioneer?
Resolution back to the House
to
under
work
the,
in the House.
Previous question is ordered. The question is on adoption of the concurrent resolution. Under clause 10 of rule 20, the ayes and nays are ordered. Members will record their votes by electronic device. This will be a 5-minute vote pursuant to clause 8 of rule 20. This 5-minute vote on adoption of the concurrent resolution will be followed by 5-minute votes on passage of the bill.
So I just thought that was cute because the guy is just rattling it off, man. Yep. He's got an auctioneer future ahead of him if he's not going to stay in the House, that's for sure. But it was interesting that it's a 5-minute. They got a 5-minute window to cast their vote. You know what I mean? And as you're watching on video there, you can see that some of them had to kind of run to get down there, you know, from their seats. So you got to think, if you're 70, 75 years old and still a congressman, you've got some running to do, baby. You better not be in the walker, because you might have a problem getting in there. But the House passed it as well. But it doesn't mean anything's going to happen yet, because there's still some of the Republicans are now fighting, hey, we want to do a repeal and replace. And some people just want to replace or repeal it and get it out of the way, and let's do. Well, I don't know that that makes any sense either, to just repeal it. And then what do you do?
Right, because then you own it. You broke it. You own it, even though it was broke previously.
Yeah. And the Democrats are saying, well, there have been plans out there, and I think Price coming in as HHS has got a plan that he has put forth numerous times.
Yeah, he's had a plan,
and so I think. The Republicans will wait, and I hope they do, because I think it makes sense.
Yeah, you know, I think they should.
Don't make it any worse. There are people who need it. But you know what? Let's take into account all the things that the Democrats never looked at when we were talking about it the first time. Obamacare might have been a success had they said you can buy across state lines.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's no competition. Of course, they don't understand the free market anyway.
That's a whole different subject. If they had said to the Lawyers Guild, we're going to put some limits on these cases that go to court for medical abuse or whatever, you know what I mean?
Right.
You get a $100 million lawsuit. Come on. None of us are worth $100 million, right?
Right.
I mean, take care of the person that's been damaged so that they're fine, but does that take $100 million? Some of those lawsuits are just crazy.
Well, if you look at some of the insurance that the doctors have to carry, it's outrageous how much it costs. It's almost not worth it anymore.
Exactly. You know, find a way to cut down on paperwork. I like to go back. I went through probably a 10-year stint in my life where I did not have medical coverage, right? And so I ended up finding a doctor who did not take insurance at all. You paid check, cash, or credit card. She took those. And she was a good doc. She actually was a surgeon from St. Joe.
A whole lot different price, wasn't
it? And God bless her, Dr. Jean Dunnigan. She was just the most fabulous doctor I have ever had, bar none. And that takes my doctor as a kid. Sorry, Dr. Zako. You were a good doctor. But Dr. Jean Dunnigan was amazing. She spent time with you, you know. And I remember going in one time for a shoulder. I had a bad torn rotator or something was going on with my shoulder, and I had a sinus infection, right? And I'm one of those guys who waits until it's all wrapped up before I actually drag myself into the doctor, you know. And she spent time with me, and you know, she gave me my prescriptions right there. She gave me a shot in my shoulder and spent all that time with me, and it was $75 cash.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And some people, ooh, $75, you know. Well, listen, when you have an insurance plan in your car, that doesn't cover your oil changes, baby. You know what I mean? Some of these things, I think we need to take a look at. And maybe these small doctors, your kid's got a cold again. You know, you're going to take them to the doctor. You know it's a cold. Why are you even going to the doctor? But you know what? Pay cash for those things, and maybe it's work. Dr. Dunnigan had a thriving business, and she was done with. She said all the time she saved on paperwork, it's what made it possible for her to stay in business.
Well, and the compliance issues are probably 10 times worse now.
Yeah, and it's just crazy. When you see the files and the paperwork and all the stuff, and now stuff comes in, you get a paper that says, this is not a bill. So you're sending me something. Why don't you just send it all with the bill and we'll be done with it? Don't send me a piece of paper 2 weeks before you send the bill that explains it. You know what I mean? Send it all at once. Save the postage, for crying out loud. But it's crazy. And so I think the Republicans, if they do it right, and I encourage the Democrats, gosh darn it, I hope Debbie Stabenow, if you're listening, Gary Peters, if you're listening out there, for God's sake, stop playing partisan politics. Work with the Republicans. If there are things you want in there, because I think the Republicans are fine with keeping those kids until they're age 26, right?
I hadn't heard that part. I'm not sure about that.
I think they are. Pre-existing conditions.
Yes.
The Republicans know that's an issue as well.
Yeah.
So it's not like the Republicans want to screw millions of people over. They just want something that makes sense and is sustainable.
Well, Trump flat out said there are certain parts of it he wants to keep because they're good.
But I mean, because let's face it, all these young millennials, as a young man, you don't get sick. You don't go to the doctor. Even if you are sick, you don't go to the doctor. You're not costing anything.
Yeah.
But you got to make it small enough that they're still going to put something in. $100 a month, you know, not these $1,500 a month payments are just crazy.
They're not going to use it anyway, so that's all going to pay for everybody else.
Yeah, so it's got to be small enough to say yes, you know. And it's the other thing is the catastrophic. And some people, and I'm fine spending $5,000 a year on my medical costs, out of pocket, whatever, but I want a policy that's going to cover the catastrophic thing. If I get cancer, if I'm in a car wreck, if my leg goes bad or my back goes bad, you know what I mean? Something that's not going to turn me into a poor person and I lose everything, you know?
Right.
Get a catastrophic plan that covers it. So there are things that can be done. And the Democrats, shame on them because they didn't do it. They didn't listen to any of those options when they jammed through Obamacare.
Nobody was allowed to read it.
Nobody was allowed to read it.
That told you something was wrong right there. Yeah. They knew what was
coming. That's exactly right. So, anyways, we got through that. Let's talk about some of the confirmations because we're almost out of time at this point. I wanted to talk to – do we have that track, Derek, of Marco Rubio? Is it on there? I might have lost it even. That's a bummer. Well, Marco Rubio went after Rex Tillerson. And I had my own reservations about Rex Tillerson when putting it on, because I kind of have that feeling when I look at oil people.
Right.
You know, it's the oil guys. Don't put the oil guy in charge of anything. Oh, it is. We do have it. It's track 7, Derek. You got it? This is Marco Rubio, who's a Republican, right? Allegedly.
Yeah.
Rhino Republican, going after Rex Tillerson. And part of me thought, well, he's still mad at Donald Trump, and that's why he's kind of grilling. But it's these guys that are trying to stoke up the rhetoric against Russia. Vladimir Putin is a rotten individual. You know, he's a power-hungry madman, whatever you want to call him. But there's no sense trying to start a war with him. What are you trying to do?
Yeah.
Go ahead and play track 7, Derek. This is Marco Rubio grilling Rex Tillerson.
Is Vladimir Putin a war criminal?
I would not use that term.
Well, let me describe the situation in Aleppo, and perhaps that will help you reach that conclusion. In Aleppo, Mr. Putin has directed his military to conduct a devastating campaign. He's targeted schools, markets, not just assisted the Syrians in doing it. His military has targeted schools and markets and other civilian infrastructure. It's resulted in the death of thousands of civilians. This is not the first time Mr. Putin is involved in campaigns of this kind. Back when he was just appointed prime minister before he was elected, and I'm sure you're aware of that period of time, there was a series of bombings, and they blamed it on the Chechens. And Mr. Putin personally said that he would punish them, and so he ordered the Air Force to bomb the Chechen capital of Grozny. They used Scud missiles to hit hospitals, the city's main outdoor market, packed with shoppers. 137 people died instantly. They used thermobaric and fuel air explosive bombs. These are the bombs that ignite, and they burn the air breathed in by people who are hiding in basements. They used cluster munitions. He used battlefield weapons against civilians. And when it was all said and done, an estimated 300,000 civilians were killed, and the city was completely destroyed. By the way, there's credible body of reporting, open source and other, that this was all those bombings were part of a black flag operation on the part of the FSB. And if you want to know the motivation, here's what it is. Putin's approval ratings before the attacks against the Chechens was at 31%. By mid-August of that year, it was at 78% in just 3 months. So based on all this information and what's publicly in the record about what's happened
in
the Russian military.
Let's cut that, Derek, because we're almost out of time. Here's what bothers me about Marco Rubio. The U.S. has hit hospitals before, hit schools before. Why? Because that's where ISIS hides.
Yeah,
right?
They do that. They're not.
And it's because of the war that's escalated in Syria due to McCain, Rubio, and Graham selling arms to these people that's caused this action turn into a giant civil war and why Aleppo's been destroyed. So Mr. Rubio takes fair blame for a lot of that.
Sure
he does. And to call Putin a war criminal, call yourself Mr. Rubio a war criminal.
Yeah, all behind the scenes.
So, Dave, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
We'll get you on again. Sounds great. All right, until next week, go to thedailydrift.com. Stay informed and stay educated. See you next week.